Right, let's start. I welcome fellow members, honorary aldermen, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the council. Please ensure your mobile phones are off. Do all councillors have a copy of the agenda? I give notice that I intend to take an item of business regarding assets with the exempt annex at the end to put it to the end of the meeting. This item is the Part B minute from the Policy and Resources Committee on the Scrutiny Review of Council Property Assets. I will now ask the Chief Executive to report on any emergency evacuation procedures.
Thank you, Chairman. We're not expecting any emergency at all this evening, so if the alarm does go, members of the public and members are asked to evacuate the building from the fire exits as indicated. Also, for the members of the public who don't know, there are toilets and there is water just outside in the corridor. Thank you, Chairman.
Are there any apologies for absence?
We've received apologies from Councillor Hope.
Councillor Potter?
Yeah, apologies from Councillors Thornton and Clark who are still stuck in Scarborough but hope to be here in due course.
Thank you. The third item on the agenda is public question time. There is one public question. Mr. Summers, please could you read your public question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, if a member of the public believes that there is bullying and/or harassment in a local authority, do you believe that they should report this to the local authority?
The subject matter of the question has been the subject of private and confidential correspondence in the past between the questioner and the chief executive of the district council. The questioner is advised to refer to the correspondence he has received from the district council to answer his question. In terms of any concerns regarding bullying and harassment, Rydale District Council is a supportive employer and would always be concerned and act accordingly if any member of staff indicated any such issues in the workplace. We have in place clear policies and guidance to address these serious issues, and any employee with a concern is encouraged to raise it at the earliest opportunity through a number of appropriate routes. Confidentiality is assured and support is available through human resources and union representatives. Do you have a supplementary?
I do, thank you, Chairman. What action would you expect the council to take if bullying and or harassment is reported to the chief executive?
I will issue a written response to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No other public questions, so I shall move on to item four, the minutes. Item four on the agenda is to approve as a correct record the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 1st of September 2016, pages 5 to 20. As chairman of the council, I move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the council held that day be approved and signed as a correct record. Is that seconded? Thank you, Councillor Carling. Unless a member has an amendment to change the minutes because of inaccuracy with the words to be included or deleted, which I can put to the vote, I will move to the vote on approving the minutes as drafted. Members. Okay, members, please cast your votes now.
Yeah. 23 votes for, no votes against, 3 abstentions.
That's carried.
That's carried, thank you. Urgent business. There is one item of urgent business. I shall read it out and then we'll discuss it later as the agenda is shown on at item 13. The urgent business is that the Senior Management Contracts Working Party be designated the Appointments Committee and given the authority to appoint a Deputy Chief Executive. Okay. There are no other urgent items. Announcements. Sorry, declarations of interest. Declarations of interest. This is item 6. Do any members have any interest to declare under the Members' Code of Conduct? Okay, announcements. I would like to make the announcements of where I have been, some of the places I've been to. Amongst the other things, I've attended Merchant Navy Day. The leader and I recognised this day with a flag was raised here at the council offices. It's an important day for me because I spent a lot of my time working at sea. I went to Yorkshire in Bloom Awards at York. It was extremely interesting, but one thing that I found a little bit disappointing is the fact that there was not much from Rydale, and we've got some of the nicest places in the country, in the county. So maybe if any of you are horticulturalists, you might consider pressing your friends to perhaps submit for next year. I went to the RAF parade and service at York Minster. This was for the training establishment at Linton upon Ouse. It was quite impressive, and it was nice to see some parade with youngsters in from the RAF cadets, as well as the main RAF personnel parading through York, because they have the Freedom of York. The service in the Minster was extremely good to attend. And finally, I went to beating retreat at Catterick Garrison with the Gurkha Regiment, and this was extremely poignant for me, as my father served with the Gurkhas in Malaya. So I was really pleased to have been able to take that invitation. Item 8, there are no questions on notice. So moving on to item 9, Councillor Cowling, I call upon you to make the leader's statement.
Thank you, Chairman. As you all know, it's only 5 weeks since we were last here, so I don't have an awful lot to report to you. All the outside meetings I've attended have been around the subject of housing, the local government, North Yorkshire and York Housing Board and Forum. Steve and I also attended a conference on rural housing. It is increasingly clear that there is funding available out there to aid the delivery of an increased supply of new homes. We just have to be ready to grasp the opportunities. The new buzzword is community-led housing. Funding for community-led housing is being made available, particularly in rural and coastal villages and small towns that have a high proportion of second homes, and this is where you begin to recognise Rydale. Work is ongoing to encourage communities to take up this opportunity. So I've asked Peter Duncan, who works for the consultants promoting the concept, if he would attend our parish liaison meeting on the 19th of October. I'm pleased to say he has confirmed that he can come to Rydale, so I would be very grateful if you could encourage the parishes that you represent to attend that meeting. At the conference and at the LGNYY meetings, building firms, both large and small, told us the frustrations they face in being able to deliver new build housing. Sorry. The problems ranged from lenders being unwilling to fund development, lack of skilled labour, the intricacies of the planning system, and not least, the cost added to open market housing by the provision of affordable homes. I would like to remind you that in 2 weeks' time we shall be in the middle of our Local Government Association Corporate Peer Challenge. Information was sent out to you on the 28th of September, and we shall be looking forward to the preliminary findings of the Peer Challenge. All members are invited to the feedback session on Friday the 21st of October at 1 p.m. It would be good to see as many of you there as possible. Tonight on our agenda, we are being asked to agree a policy for our property assets. Our Overview and Scrutiny Committee have provided us with an excellent piece of background work to help us make that decision. Lastly, when we get to item 12, the Share Wealth Fund consultation, I hope we shall not start reliving the debate about fracking. We need to concentrate on giving relevant responses to the consultation. Thank you. I'll answer any questions that you have.
Anyone like to put a question to Councillor Cowling? Councillor Burr?
Thank you, Chairman. Tonight we're being asked to agree a policy for our property assets, and this work has been done extremely quickly. Could the leader tell me why that a motion from Councillor Andrews and myself put forward to have more pumps around Broby and Moulton Norton reflooding has not even come back to full councillors of yet? It's 12 weeks to open to the end of December, and last December we suffered severe flooding. What if this happens again? Don't you think we've let our residents down and not progressed this piece of work quickly enough?
No, I'm absolutely certain that we haven't let our residents down. It would have been silly to have charged headlong into a very isolated piece of work. What we decided as a council to do was to review the flooding situation as a whole in Rydale. And that piece of work is nearing completion, as I'm sure you already know. And we will be able to make a sensible decision that gives us the best results for the whole of Rydale.
Councillor Andrews.
Just coming back on that, Chairman, perhaps Councillor Cowling would elaborate on that explanation, because I understood that the general situation regarding flooding in Rydale was being dealt with on a quarterly basis in ongoing discussions between all the relevant authorities, including this authority and the drainage liaison group. Now, I can't remember the council ever deciding that that our motion should be widened in the way in which she has widened, in which she says it has been widened. I am aware that the scrutiny committee, in their infinite wisdom, decided to do that, but it was not the decision of this council. So I would like to know why it is that her group has used these delaying tactics in order to put back a consideration of a motion which we put forward, I think it was in January or February, and which the whole council accepted was urgent and was on a very limited front in regard to pumps only.
I think that was quite a ridiculous thing to say, that my group have used delaying tactics. They most certainly haven't. And also, if I can refer back, Lindsay, to your saying that we're coming up to December when the flooding happened again, I think we're all well aware of that. But can I also remind you that some of the worst flooding we've had in Rydale was in June, not in December. So it doesn't matter what time of year it is, it can flood at any time of year. But if we're going to spend public money on flood prevention and alleviation in Rydale, it has to be a considered decision, and it has to be the right decision for the whole of Rydale. As somebody who suffers personally from a property that floods, do you really think that I would condone delays in spending this money for the benefit of the rest of Rydale? That's very rude, Paul, very rude.
Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. At the Policy and Resources Committee, it was agreed that this council will fund a feasibility study into improving congestion at the railway crossing in Moulton and Norton, which is urgently needed as the number of trains will double in 2018. Does the council agree with me that Councillor Burr's delaying tactic in April, which pushed back that feasibility study for several months, is going to create additional pressure when we've already got a very tight deadline to meet. Thank you.
Yes, I would agree that that was absolutely appalling to delay that. I think we're all well aware how difficult the situation is there and what damage is being done, the pollution that's being caused. And I also think I'll take this opportunity to say this again now. I'm very disappointed with what North Yorkshire County Council is proposing. We need that weight limit and we need it implementing soon.
Can I remind councillors to speak about the leader's statement, ask questions about the leader's statement? Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. And first of all, my apologies to my leader for not notifying her of this particular question beforehand.
Nothing fresh.
Recently, Leeds City Council had been criticised, and I'm not so sure as to whether it's a legitimate criticism, for too many houses proposal to be built. There's apparently evidence that they're trying to build too many houses. Are we going to suffer such a similar criticism? Thank you, Chairman.
That absolutely wouldn't happen in Rydale. We have a housing, it's called SHMAR, and I can never remember what it stands for, which quantifies our housing needs. What we do need is affordable housing, and that's where a lot of the government money is aimed at the moment. The Conservatives are very keen to support the delivery of affordable homes, particularly in rural areas.
Thank you. Any more questions on the leader's statement? Okay, Councillor Andrews.
I have indeed, yes, Chairman. The question I have relates to the third paragraph of the statement, which is talking about rural housing and making land available for rural housing. This is a very welcome statement to my, it's music to my ears. But what I don't understand is how this is consistent with the district plan, which prescribes and imposes 50%. No, sorry, prescribes and imposes 90% of all new housing on the towns. What I have always said to this council is the most unfair way. Perhaps you could explain that. And following that, she could also explain how it is that small builders find themselves in the state that they have done, where they have no sites for small building, because this council has followed a deliberate policy of insisting that all new building should be big estates, which only builders can carry out.
Councillor Andrews, I gave you a chance at a second question. You don't need to make two or three questions extra than the first one you asked.
I appreciate that, Chairman. Thank you very much indeed. But I do think that really is one question, because it arises out of the same point. Two parts of the same question, Chairman.
Sir Carling.
Could you just repeat the first part of the question, please?
How is it... your statement goes into some depth about stating how important it is for there to be more houses provided in the countryside. Rural housing, you call it. Yeah. What I'm asking you is how this statement, which I welcome, can be considered to be consistent with the Rydale plan, which the ruling group has imposed on Malta, has imposed on the towns of Rydale, particularly Malton and Norton, which requires 90% of all new housing to be built in the towns. Now, I want to know how those two statements are consistent.
Well, I can't say that the ruling group really imposed the plan on Malton. I think it was an informed decision that was made in the light of Malton being the capital town of Rydale, It has the rail connections, it has the road connections, it has public transport connections. It's quite obvious that Moulton is the most sustainable place for development in Rydale. As for you saying that where will the land come from in the rural areas, I think you know enough about planning to know that exception sites can provide windfall sites in the villages. And if you're not, if members as a whole aren't happy with the policies that we have in the local plan on rural sites, non-service villages, etc., then it's for you to make that known and do something about it, which quite a number of councils are doing that now. And probably that explains to you about the lack of sites, the second part of your question.
Okay, I think we've had enough questions there. Going on to item 10, to consider the approval of the recommendations in respect of the Part B committee items, would Councillor Maud please briefly introduce this recommendation?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. The Licensing Committee met on the 5th of July and we agreed that there should be some changes to the licensing arrangement to meet the legal requirements. And what was proposed went out to consultation with the with the taxes and private eye people, and the feedback from them was quite acceptable, and they've accepted it. But see, there's in one way that they have been benefiting from not having to pay as much as they would have done originally. But on another side, the ones with the private eye taxes will be getting a less charge, but with the school transport, they will be having to pay more. However, it's all been explained to these people, and it went before the licensing committee.
Councillor Maud, we wanted just a brief introduction to this
okay.
topic.
I'll move the recommendations as in
any
the.
Okay. Thank you. Is it seconded? Seconded. Thank you. And are there any questions for Councillor Maud? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm looking on page 62. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm looking at page 62 on the responses to consultations, and in particular the last paragraph. Generally, I'm wondering, has anybody responded to these queries and questions? But in particular, the last paragraph where it says the cost of school, transport, taxi contracts, blah, 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 likely to increase significantly as a result of the proposed changes, struggle to obtain quotes or tender submissions. It sounds like there could be some severe problems with school transport, particularly in the very remote areas. So how is it proposed that this is going to be addressed?
Thank you. Councillor Maud?
Yeah, you'll have to have a written reply. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Becky Bennett's prepared to answer. She presented this.
Yes, Councillor Potter, Becky Bennett's prepared to answer this for you.
You just need a microphone.
Thank you, Chair. Just to explain, we are in liaison with the County Council because we are very conscious that the impact of our changes are going to impact on existing contracts, and the County Council are looking at their with their legal team to see if our changes can be absorbed into the current contracts, and we are also wanting to be very flexible with how we introduce our changes so that we can phase them into time with existing contracts. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
It's a matter of clarification, Chairman, and again, perhaps Becky could help. On page 59, proposed maximum three. There's five paragraphs, and paragraph three says grant a renewal of a 1-year private hire vehicle operator's license, and paragraph five deals with a 3-year, 192 for a year renewal of a dual Hackney carriage private hire driver's license. Not quite sure how this works. Are these two the same things, or are they not the same thing?
Thank you, Chair. The two different things. The currently we license private hire operators, drivers and vehicles for a year. Under the Deregulation Act, what we are now required to do legally is issue a 1-year vehicle licence, a 3-year driver licence and a 5-year private hire operator licence, which is what the recommendations are seeking to achieve.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions, Councillor Ide?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I've got a question for the Chair of the Committee, please. So in view of recent technological advancements allowing the emergence of new private hire operators, such as Uber, which blur the lines between Hackney carriage vehicles and private hire vehicles, do you think it's fair that there is a two-tier pricing structure for these two operators?
Councillor Maud?
Yes, I mean, we have agreed this at the licensing committee, so we must have accepted that that is acceptable. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Do you wish to make any more comments? Do you want to move it? You've moved it, Councillor Moore. Do you want to say anything?
No further comment.
I propose that we put it to the vote, please.
Four votes for, no votes against, three abstentions.
That is carried. We now move on to agenda item 11, notices on motion. It says on the agenda that this would be Councillor Clark and Councillor Thornton. Can I ask Councillor Keel or Potter, do you have any wishes for this? Are you going to deal with it?
Is it possible to move it to just before the end? I know we've got the exempt item at the end. Or did we have to do that at the beginning of the meeting?
No, I think that's fair enough. Before the last one, I'd like to put exempt at the end.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you?
It's because. Chairman, I think it's because we've heard that Councillors Thornton and Clark are running late, so there's a chance that might get to the meeting. I think that's the intention, is it not?
Yeah.
And that's what you've agreed to.
Yes.
No, thank you. Just for clarity. Thanks, Chairman.
Okay, going on to...
It seems a bit strange. I mean, people who are supposed to be looking after debate, both proposing and seconding, are not here. I mean, there may be strange circumstances which people know about, but nevertheless, if they're not here, either two other members perhaps of the group, but if they don't feel able to take it up, fair enough, then I don't see why we should have to have it later and postpone, because people aren't here. I'm sorry.
We're not postponing it. We're just going to...
Tonight?
Yes. Going to deal with it tonight.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we deal with this item now.
Is that seconded?
I don't want to vote on that to deal with the item. You need to vote. It's been moved and seconded. Vote on dealing with it now. That's the vote on dealing with this item now, please, members.
Seventeen votes for, five votes against, five abstentions.
It's carried that it's taken now.
Okay, thank you for that, and so we'll take that now. It's been moved and seconded.
Would anyone like to move?
Who will move it? Councillor Potter?
Yeah, seconded? I'll move it.
Seconded by Councillor
Yeah. Yeah, now that it's been proposed and seconded, it's open for debate. Make your move of speech, Councillor Potter.
Right. Unprepared as I am. Do you want me to read the whole motion out?
Please. Yeah. On the agenda.
I've had a request, I shall read the whole motion out. Right. The staff champion.
Hang on, Councillor Potter, it is in the agenda. Everybody will have read it.
I'm being asked to read it out, so I shall read it out, if that's all right, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Don't look at me like that. Please, keep. Let's have some quiet. It's a request I'm happy to go with. Please read it out.
Right. Thank you, Chair. The staff champion is important not only to the employees of Rydale District Council, but also to the running of the council. So as to make this relationship even better and more democratic, the employees at Rydale District Council should have opportunity to elect their champion. This council therefore resolves, 1. To agree in principle that future staff champions should be elected by the employees of Rydale District Council. 2. That the Policy and Resources Committee, after consultation with Unison and others, produces a structure and arrangements so that this process can take place. 3. The result of Policy and Resources deliberations be recommended to full council for decision.
Okay. Do you want to add anything?
Well, not a great deal, but I have to say, is it important that the staff have the full confidence in the staff champion? And is democracy of any relevance in this case? And if the answer to both of those are yes, then I think you really should be voting for this motion. If the staff have full confidence in Councillor Farnell as their current staff champion, then they're perfectly entitled to elect her as the staff champion. But it doesn't seem unreasonable that the staff vote for somebody that they have confidence in to be their champion, rather than having somebody imposed on them that they may not have any confidence in. Thank you.
Councillor Keel.
I reserve my right. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Sanderson.
Thank you, Chairman. For many years, I was young people's champion for this authority, and I wasn't elected by the young people of Rydale. I don't think I did a bad job by not being elected by them. I rest my case.
Councillor Goodrick.
Mr. Chairman, whilst I have some sympathy with the motion, actually the time to have brought it up was when we had the annual meeting of council and the staff champion was nominated at that time. Councillor Farnell's in post for 4 years. This does say future, not in the past. This is now in the past. It's a 4-year appointment. I don't think it's worth discussing tonight.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. Since the Conservative group became the ruling group, there has been a sort of agreement between all the political groups that the staff champion should come from the opposition. And that was first of all that was Councillor Burr. Secondly, it was Councillor Walker. I think Councillor Farnell is the first person who's come from the ruling group. Now, I'm not suggesting that, that there's anything that Councillor Farnell isn't capable of dealing with staff. What I'm suggesting is that if a staff member makes their concerns known to a member of the ruling group, they're probably likely to be far less forthcoming than if they make their view known to the opposition. And quite honestly, I mean, it's quite obviously which way you're going to vote on this, because John Clark's put the motion, and so therefore you're all going to vote against him. I understand that perfectly. But what I would say is, I am aware of issues relating to bullying. Councillor Farnell, because it's given me confidence, and Councillor Farnell at the last meeting was not. And that is not because there's anything wrong with Councillor Farnell, it's simply because members of staff will feel reluctant to confide in members of the ruling group, and it's as simple as that. If the ruling group was the Liberals or Liberal Democrats, the same principle would apply.
Mr. Chairman, if Councillor Andrews has been notified of bullying, he should put that in writing and let me know. That is our policy, and we keep talking about in this chamber. It really is disappointing. We should put things in writing and let me know. And could I just say that staff of this council are apolitical? They do not. If they've got problems, they go to who they think will help them with those problems. And I'm sorry, I know it'll offend you tonight in this chamber, but it isn't the most important thing in every staff's list of things to do about which party they represent. They choose to take that decision in the ballot box. So to say staff go to members, I'm really sorry to interrupt the debate, but I have to occasionally just step in, because I'm afraid that isn't my understanding of how people go to where, and I'm not taking any sides about who should be the champion, but staff are apolitical, and I think members should just remember that. Thank you very much, Chairman, for letting me interject, and I look forward to receiving any correspondence that members have got for me.
Point of order, Chairman. I'm being told.
Which order are you talking about?
A matter of confidentiality, Chairman. Members.
Where would give me the number? Give me the number, please, in the Constitution. Will you please sit down unless you give me
confidentiality to people who speak to me? And I think that is absolutely disgraceful. I call her to withdraw that statement immediately.
Chairman, could I move that the member no longer be heard? I think his behaviour is absolutely disgraceful tonight and verges on bullying.
Has that been seconded, that the member?
Seconded.
Has it seconded? Okay.
Okay. Put that to the vote, let not be heard.
Chairman, sorry to point of order here. It has to be the chairman that moves that a member no longer be heard under the Constitution. I'm really, really sorry. I would vote with Councillor Mrs. Cowling, but it has to come from the chairman.
Okay, I move it. Councillor Cowling. go to the vote.
Just please ask if anyone else has got anything to say and get it. 21 votes for, 5 against, 1 abstention.
Okay. Motion is carried. Can we go on? Anybody else got any questions? Councillor Arnold.
Chairman, I think this completely undermines the hard work that our Councillor Farnall's done. And I think she's done a wonderful job in the time she's been doing it. And I feel the staff have got her full support. And I think we should just completely vote against it. And I think Councillor Andrew should be taken to task of what he said.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Arnold. Anybody else want to say anything?
Thank you, Chairman. I totally endorse the endorsements of the current staff champion, but I just draw Councillor's attention that this isn't about who the person is, it's about the process for electing that person. And that person is elected as the council's champion. It is for councillors to decide who amongst them is going to take that role on behalf of themselves, as we have champions for the other things as well. I don't know, I mean, would we suggest that the that the drivers should elect a highways champion? Maybe. I could go on, but it misconstrues the purpose, which is this post is for councillors to elect one of themselves, not for a different process. So clearly...
Thank you. Councillor Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. As it's already been said, we actually voted last May for a staff champion, as we've done for many, many years. We have had some very good staff champions in the past, as this council knows. We actually voted either for Councillor Farnell. There was no objections whatsoever to that vote. She's carried out her duties extremely well since she was voted in. She is approachable, and we can all put our full confidence into her. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to come back to two points made by Councillor Potter and Councillor Andrews made about democracy, and that this motion being a more democratic decision than the way we operate now, which is just completely wrong. The current staff champion is elected by the elected representatives on this council. Each one of us in this chamber, each 30 members, are elected by the residents in our ward. That's called democracy. So that staff champion is being chosen by elected members. If we go to a system where it's chosen by a small number of residents in Rydal, that would be less democratic. Equally, if it was a case that that position could only be held by the opposition members, which the public voted as a minority on this council, that would equally be undemocratic. There is no democratic deficit here. The motion which is proposed would be lacking in democracy. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Councillor Cowling.
Just very briefly, and so that it absolutely is on record, the notion that the staff champion is elected from the opposition is a total fantasy, and I don't know where you've made that up from. In the past, we've elected Peter Walker as staff champion, and he was from the opposition, but that was because this group felt that they didn't have anyone better than Peter to fulfil the position. And the same applied when we supported Lindsay to be staff champion. And Lindsay was an excellent staff champion. But we now have Councillor Fiona Farnell, who is very well qualified to be staff champion and is doing an excellent job. And I see absolutely no reason to undermine that. But, as I said before, complete fantasy to believe that it was a position for the opposition.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I come in to find things happening to my motion.
Point of order, Chairman. Is Councillor Clark allowed to speak on this debate as he's only entered partway through it? I know that he can't vote on it, but he's only entered partway through this debate, so how can he respond when he's uninformed as to what's already been said?
Councillor Ives, I've said Councillor Clark can speak, so Councillor Clark, please carry on.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Ives has a very strange view of democracy. When it involves trade unions, it's got to be more than a 50% vote and it's got to be more than 50% of them, etc. This is a representative from the councillors to represent the staff in a staff champion role. Now, I don't know, I've come in here and I'm sure there was something I've missed, but as the author of this motion, I have no criticism of Councillor Farnell at all. I have no belief whether it should be opposition or controlling group, because I have this silly democratic view that the opposition and the controlling group should change on this council over the decades. Maybe there's something that I don't understand in that. But this motion actually asks for the policy committee to go away and look at it. But no, we're not going to look at it. As usual, we've made our minds up without looking at the facts. Well, that seems fine. I mean, yes, Councillor Farnell voted against an issue that involved, I think it was the appeals thing, or abstained on that one, and voted against another one. But that's fine. That's up to her. She is elected as a staff champion. She's got the right to do that. But somebody becoming the staff champion when they arrive, not now in any shape or form, but when they arrive, and all new councillors when they arrive in a council don't know where the loos are, being a representative for the employees of the council is pushing it. I realise, Chair, you're probably biased on that basis because you were on the top table at the same time as Councillor Farnell arrived. Again.
Councillor Clark, just stick to the subject, not personalities, please.
Oh, I thought, I didn't hear you earlier on when Councillor Farnell was being told by, I think, our Supreme Leader that it was a criticism of her, etc. Why have they been allowed to get away with it and I'm being criticised?
Just carry on, Councillor Clark, please.
Oh, I see. So you don't like it when you're in the wrong, you just tell me to carry on. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So I haven't heard any arguments.
It's 3 minutes coming up, Councillor
Clark.
Thank
you, Chair. Yes, but we've got interruption time, innit?
No. Please just make your point. Okay, let's move this to the vote, please.
Councillor Andrews.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Councillor Joy Andrews.
I don't have any criticism against Councillor Farnell at all. And I don't think this is about Councillor Farnell. I think it's about the staff choosing their champion, or the chance of the staff choosing their champion. I think when we did this at the meeting and voted for a champion for the staff, the bullying, and please, when I say bullying, don't everybody go, "Ooh," because it doesn't happen here. I'm just saying, if there is bullying, then I think if the staff have chosen their champion, they would feel that they could go to them. I'm not saying they couldn't go to... It could be that they choose Councillor Farnell. I just think that the champion should be voted for by the people that he or she represents.
Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Sanderson said that she did a very good job by not being elected. We don't really have governments saying I did a fine job but I wasn't elected. Surely it's the people who are being represented that need to do the electing and say whether people are doing a good job or not. It was also said it's not worth discussing tonight. Well, I believe this council is about to undergo one of the biggest redundancy programmes, if not the biggest redundancy programme it's ever had. And therefore staff will be very concerned about their positions. And I do believe that they are the people who really need to be saying who they want as a staff champion and who they feel confident enough to approach. And again, this certainly doesn't undermine Councillor Farnell, because that might be the very person. But we're talking about democracy here. And surely those people, those staff in Rydale District Council, should be given the choice to choose their staff champion. These are very hard times, very worrying times for those staff. And finally, I'm not interested either in what party a staff comes from. I don't care whether it's the ruling party, the opposition, or anybody. And I don't really want to be the one to be electing them. I want the people who are directly involved and need a representative to say who their representative may be. And as Councillor Clark said, this is to go to policy and resources to discuss. So there are quite a few other processes to go through before we get this far. But yes, I give you democracy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, can I ask for a recorded vote when we go to the vote, please?
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Named vote, sorry.
Okay, go to the vote, please.
Six votes for, 19 votes against, three abstentions.
Okay, the motion is lost. Moving on to agenda item 12, the Shale Wealth Fund consultation, starting page 63. Can the Head of Planning and Housing please brief members on this report? All right. Thank you for that. I'm advised Councillor Thornton might be about to turn up, so I'll be very, very quick. I hope members have had a chance to read the report, which is on page 63 of the agenda papers. And as members will have appreciated, it's a report in response to a government consultation called the Shale Wealth Fund, and which itself is a relatively brief document. And he runs to about 13 pages. And the gist of this relates to the controversial issue of shale gas. But this is not about the whys and wherefores or the pros and cons of fracking, but what the government is seeking comments on is how receipts and certainly tax revenues from shale gas production might be redistributed at some future point. And as paragraph 6.2 states, that initially that might consist of up to 10% of tax revenues, and over a 25-year period, that's estimated to be around about £1 billion. So clearly the sums are quite substantial. The report makes it clear that the consultation responses and the period of time for responses ends on the 25th of October. And as a council, if we wish to respond, therefore, we need to do it before that date. You'll see that the consultation, although it's a relatively short document, has got quite a large number of questions in it. The documentation doesn't have an awful lot of detail to go with it. It's very much a preliminary piece of work, and the suggested responses are set out in Appendix 1. But you'll note from the recommendation that I'm seeking delegated approval of the response in liaison with group leaders. If there are any questions, I'll try and answer them tonight.
Do members have questions? Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The recommendation is to agree a response with group leaders. However, one group leader on this council is supported by 19 members, whereas another group leader is represented by 2 members. So there is a difference in the democratic weight behind each group leader. So when you come to draft this response, if there is a difference of opinion between group leaders, how will you reconcile those differences?
I think that's a good question, Chairman, and it really, I suppose, does depend upon the nature of the responses that we do get from the various group leaders who either we will meet as a group or will forward me their comments. Well, I would hope, obviously, in hope anyway, that the comments are ones of broad consensus. Clearly, if there are particular responses to particular questions, then I would wish to try and resolve that before responding. But what I'm asking for is a delegated response. I think clearly time is short. And if there are matters of severe disagreement, then that's something that I'd have to take a view on.
Councillor Clark. Councillor Clark, can you just allow Councillor Ives a supplementary, please?
There is no doubt that fracking is a hugely controversial issue, and there are huge differences in opinion. If there is an unreconcilable difference of opinion with the group leaders, and one group leader represents the majority on this council but might be faced against a majority of the total number of group leaders, I think that's going to be very hard to resolve, especially if the issue at heart is of a political nature. Would that not be going against the officer's code of conduct if you were being the judge to decide which response to take?
Well, I think it's a very difficult question to answer, Chairman, but if one goes to the questions that are being posed, I would suggest they're not of political content, but really asking questions in relation to matters relating to how the funding in question might be spent in terms of a local or regional split. I would stress that the consultation is the first that the government has actually placed before anybody, any councils, any authorities. There are no specific proposals, but clearly the government does intend to respond to this consultation process before the end of the year. And it may well be that more information comes to light at that stage, which if it does, we'll come back to council. My crystal ball's no better than anybody else's, Chairman, but clearly a consideration for members tonight in the recommendation is if you're not happy with a response delegated to me via group leaders, then it's in your gift to decide on a different recommendation. That's the officer recommendation, Chairman, and I'm happy to answer any more questions.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I just could help with the answer of the last one as a group leader. Though we have vastly different views on a vast range of subjects, my experience on being a group leader, unlike Councillor Ives, is that the group leaders in this council usually manage to balance things and work things and find a compromise between them on almost any subject when it's not a major issue as a debate in the council chamber. That's one of the things over the last 14 years that we've managed to do on most occasions.
Can I have a question, please?
Yes, Chair. You may have the question. The question is, has the council members received a copy of the consultation? We've got a copy here of the responses, I think, but have we got a copy of the actual document and consultation that comes from the government?
I haven't copied one, Chairman, I don't think. No.
Supplementary. Could I ask if that we could please have a copy, because it would help members to influence their group leaders as to what happens with the consultation?
Chairman, there is absolutely no problem with that. Chairman, if you haven't received it, I shall ensure that that's sent to you immediately. I've actually got the link on my iPad. I can, all those who are iPadded, I can send it straight away.
Thank you very much. Are there any more questions? Councillor Jowett.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I've, very briefly, I think you've quoted as Gary. I'm here. So I feel ignored now. You've quoted as figures of £1 billion likely monies which could be given out. And I don't know what the actual figure in housing, but let's say there's 50 million houses available. How could in it nationally? So if that was the case, that we're looking at a revenue to distribution, that I rate that at about £200 per house. Is that correct?
No, I think the essence of the consultation is to redistribute the revenue derived from the regions affected. And obviously you appreciate that's largely in the Bowland Shales, Bowland Hodder Shales in the north of the country, but also the Jurassic Weald Basin in the Kent, Sussex area. So it's quite a small area.
Have you any idea how many houses might be affected by in that area?
No, I haven't, no.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Whether you are pro or against fracking, this is irrelevant. This is quite important. This is going to be a lot of money for our community. And whilst I hear what Councillor Clark is suggesting, that 9 times out of 10, the leaders of the groups get together and can sort it out, actually, I think it might have been more appropriate to have done this on a proportional representation basis.
Councillor Sanderson. Stick to questions, please.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a question. I mean, we do say that it's a lot of money, but my concerns are around the breadth of the scope. We possibly know what the impact's going to be on Rydale, but how is that divvied up? Because, you know, there's a broader aspect to consider, you know, the impact on other authorities. You know, will it be the fire service, the roads and the highways, which are North Yorkshire? How will that all be divided up, and how will it be taken into consideration? And with it being a new industry, some of the considerations we might not even have come across yet.
I think the simple answer is, I don't think even the government knows. It's asking for comments on how the estimated funding, and clearly they're estimating £1 billion, but that won't be a linear relationship from year zero to year 25. It's a broad brush figure. And how that might be distributed, and how the decisions on distribution and what it's actually spent on, be it local communities and how you define the local community, as opposed to proportions going to a more cross-border, cross-authority, regional basis, even LET basis, are all parts of the questions that are in the consultation response. And I put bluntly, I think very much it is very much a preliminary consultation. This is the first that the government has even considered in relation to fracking. And clearly they're seeking the views of particularly, I guess, those areas affected by it. The consultation does seem to suggest that the consultation period, which started in early August, will end later this month. But they seem to be an intention to do a fairly rapid turnaround in terms of a response to this consultation. It's unclear as yet whether or not that in itself will then become a further consultation as things evolve, or be something more final. It's our opportunity to respond to this initial consultation, so that's why we brought this report to you tonight, to get the view of the Council because of the sensitivity of the subject matter.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Jem. I noticed that in the consultation question 6, the reply to that, it says it's in regard to the how the money should be distributed and it should be dealt with, and it said, should it be dealt with on a case-by-case basis? And it says, yes, but within the maximum geographical extent of the district. What I'd like, Chairman, is some kind of reassurance from this meeting that money is received in respect of fracking within Rydale will be distributed to the parishes directly affected. In other words, I wouldn't like to find that there's £100,000 of money which suddenly comes into Rydale's coffers because of something that's happening at Kirby Misperton, and not a penny gets spent in Kirby Misperton, but it's spent in other places instead. So can I have some kind of reassurance, please, Chairman? And could I ask that when group leaders consider this matter, that will be written into the answer.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Mr. Arson.
Can I just say, is there a point of order here? Because obviously Councillor Andrews has got a house in the vicinity of where the application was passed, and I haven't heard him declare an interest. I just wondered if he's trying to influence the council for his own pocket.
No, Chairman, Chairman.
Point of order, Chair.
But point of order, Chairman.
Point of order, Chair. Mine was first, I think.
Yeah.
Point of order, Chair. I would like priority. I wish to declare an interest as living in a house and owning land in Rydale. I wish it to be put into the minutes that I declare an interest.
Councillor Andrews.
Chairman, I wasn't aware that there was any suggestion in this paper that money would be made available directly to householders. And therefore, I'm not sure. I mean, I will be guided by the council solicitor, but if he thinks I should declare an interest, I will do. But I didn't think it was necessary. But can I have the council solicitor's advice, please?
I think we ought to go to... there was a question in there somewhere, Councillor Andrews. Let Mr. Housland answer.
There was a question in there, and I think it was about definition of local community. And it's clear that the government in the consultation has not concluded a view on how you define what the local community is or what the extent of it should be. And clearly that's a matter for the response and members, and you know, for you to respond either directly to me or your group leaders. But clearly... one of the issues here is that the potential impacts, aside from the immediately local impacts, might be slightly further afield. They might make references to how the local community, however it's identified, and the split and proportions of the money might be split in terms of local community proportions versus regional matters or cross-boundary issues, because there could well be some. I mean, clearly that's a matter that the government's going to have to deliberate on. It's their consultation, and it's for us to make comments on how we feel those things should be best defined. In terms of local community, how this is seeking to apportion funding, for example, in terms of the local community, we've taken a view that if there is a view about what the extent of local community should be in this process, it should be no wider than Rydale.
Thank you. Question from Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just back to the first point, really. I can't see that now. Where the recommendation says that Council delegates the approval of the response to the head of planning, which is fine, in liaison with group leaders. I just wondered if he could reassure me how that works. I imagine that he makes the decision full stop and that group leaders liaise with him beforehand, if that's the case. I'm quite happy that, or should I ask him to confirm his decision would be in line with the council's policies and with his professional view?
The essence of that is I'm seeking a delegation which is to an officer. In essence, is with consultation responses from group leaders. If I get the responses from group leaders, I envisage after tonight, if this recommendation is agreed, that I shall be pursuing that with the group leaders to make sure that they've got a deadline by which I need comments so that I can actually... put forward a sensible response to the consultation, and that's how I would envisage it would move forward, Chairman.
Okay, I think we've had enough questions on...
Councillor Thornton's indicated before.
Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. Councillor Thornton.
Councillor Thornton, please. Thank you very much. First, may I apologise for being late on a humanitarian mission. Secondly, a conflict of interest in that I live in Rydale as well, And I'd like to just ask if we've considered the possibility that it could be decades before we get our hands on any of this money, because we're talking about a percentage of revenue. And the companies that are poised to frack have got massive debts, and that alone would mean that we would be years before there'd be a tax to draw down from. Secondly, our local driller...
Sorry, was there a question there?
Yes, have you considered the possibility? So our local driller...
Can he answer, please?
I haven't finished my question.
No, you have.
He's got 3 minutes to make his question.
And our local driller, I think it's relevant, is based in the Cayman Islands through several shell companies, which would make it extremely difficult to draw down tax from them. So I think what the government is doing is sending us on a wild goose chase, getting all excited about money that we're never going to receive. Have we given any consideration to that possibility?
I think the simple answer to that is not directly, because I'm not an expert on tax revenue and offshore companies and the like, aside from a recent enforcement case we've got on the go in Hovingham. But the situation here is that there is a government consultation that is giving its estimation over the next 25 years what the extent of tax revenue could be from fracking. And it's given us a consultation which is suggesting that up to 10% of that estimated amount could be returned whence it came from to the communities and regions that are affected. And I've no idea, I've got no better crystal ball than anybody else in this room, Councillor Thornton, as to how quickly those revenues will come forward. I suspect very much in the first instance, bearing in mind that the decision in Lancashire was only made today, that it would be some time before that is productive and generating revenue. So it won't be a linear progression of £25-40 million every year. It will be a slow takeoff.
Thank you.
I have no idea how quickly that will happen. But if it does, this is asking you how you might wish to redistribute it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chair. I do have an amendment to this motion.
Okay.
Anybody else,
Scotland?
So that deficit, it needs to be moved in the second half. The deficit is quick.
Can we have the original motion moved?
Thanks, Gary.
And seconded? Councillor Arnold. Councillor Cowling, do you want to speak now, or do you want to go straight to the amendment? Do you want to hear what the amendment is? Okay, Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you.
Point of order, Chair. What's this an amendment to? We haven't got a motion in front of us at the moment.
Recommendation.
We haven't got a motion in front of us, Chair. Point of order, Chair. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say you can amend a recommendation without it having been moved.
It has been moved. It has been. Councillor Cowling moved it, and Councillor Arnold seconded.
Apologies.
Thank you. Right. The amendment is that the final recommendation be agreed on a proportional basis. Therefore, a subcommittee be created of 6 members of council, who will be agreed by group leaders.
Councillor Ives seconds it. Speak on it, Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I said earlier that whilst I was confident that group leaders will probably be in agreement at some point over this, it is such an important issue. It's a great deal of money, and I do think we need a great deal of input in this before a decision like this is taken, and then the head of housing isn't placed in a very difficult position where he doesn't know which point to take and which point not to take. This is about members making the decision and then it being fed into the head of planning.
Anybody
wish to speak on this? Councillor Ives, do you want to say anything since you seconded it?
I will reserve my right, Chair.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I'm really concerned about the proportionality of this. We've heard six to be done proportionately in the council. I don't think six is a number that works at all well, but the move of the amendment, as she said it was going to be proportional, will be able to tell us what that would be in party group numbers. That's not a biased question from our angle. We're probably the one out of whatever number comes up, we will be reasonably represented. It's the other parties that won't. It's the other groups that won't.
Anybody else want to speak on it? Councillor Cowling.
I think this is a really important issue for us because potentially there is a lot of money involved. And as leader of the controlling group, as other people like to call it, I do think that we need to have the majority of the input into it. We have been elected to represent the people of Rydale and we do hold that majority. So I'm quite happy to support this amendment. What I can say to you is those of you who are on the group will have to put the time into it and get on with it because we're on a tight timescale.
We're talking about a very tight timescale here, talking about October the 25th.
You need five.
Is this realistic?
You need five clear working days to set up and get your papers out. So it does. I mean, members could always add to the group leaders. So the group leaders are representative and make the majority group extra, so there's extra spaces there, so everybody feels they've had a view. It does feel as though it's going to be very, very tight indeed. Plus, you've got a peer challenge in a week where you're all a lot of members are committed. It's just going to be very difficult to do. Not impossible, though, Chairman.
Can I just say that if the mover and seconder are happy with that, and we can get near proportional representation on that, then I'm quite happy with that.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you very much, Chairman. It's really, really disappointing that we're bringing politics into this because I thought it was an issue that obviously affects the whole of Rydale. And I would like to declare an interest because I do live in Rydale, so it will eventually affect me. What we are being told tonight, and Councillor Ives brought politics into it, so, and he's quite right to say that the Conservative group are the majority members on this council. So you are quite right to say that. However, I have been an elected member and so have my colleagues in Moulton, and there are no Conservatives in Moulton. So we feel that we have a right to represent Moulton. However, what I would say is if you, the Conservative group, are so passionate about fracking, about taking all the money, about spending the money, I'm sorry, but it's about fracking, and Councillor Ives brought politics up.
We're discussing the amendment at the moment.
Exactly. So there we are, and it's not going to be something that probably our input would have any bearing on anyway. So what I would say is, you guys, you Conservatives, you do it on your own, and then that's absolutely fine, because at the end of the day, you are the leading group. And you want to do it. So by me, that's absolutely fine. I don't agree with it, so we're going to disagree. On many, many occasions, we sit round the table and we do agree on lots of things. But unfortunately, this is going to be something that I'm not going to be able to have an input. So why don't you just get on and do it on your own? And Luke, as you say, you know, you run this council. You are the biggest group. You know, you want this. So I would suggest that you just get on and do it on your own. So that actually, Luke, is better for you than having it proportional, because I know you want to do it.
Anybody else want to discuss on the amendment? Councillor Keel.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I just think we're going around the houses on this. I cannot see why we're looking at changing it. Surely all the members of the different groups can feed into this through their group leaders. So everybody will have their say on it. We can discuss political proportionality till we're blue in the face. But in actual fact, I think on this occasion, I actually agree with Councillor Clark, which makes a change. But to say that, you know, there are some issues in this council chamber that should rise above politics, that we should all have an input into, and I think this is one of them. And I think the proposal that Gary's put to us is the most sensible way forward, so I can't support this amendment.
Councillor Andrews, Paul Andrews.
Just to make the point, Chairman, on the number of six, I'm not sure if this has been made sufficiently clear, but there, if you have six, the Conservatives, I'm not sure whether they will have four or five representatives on that body, and there are... Sorry?
Two.
Conservatives will have two?
That's all again, yeah.
So five group leaders and one extra.
Yeah, but if we're on the amendment... And you have a committee of six, which I understand it. What this is under, I understand what Councillor Ives's amendment is. That would mean that there would be six members, four or five of them would come from the Conservative group, and one or two of them would come from the opposition. And there are three opposition, four opposition parties. And I would ask, Chairman, that perhaps the movers of this motion would give some sort of clarity to this, so that every group in this chamber does have a representative on that group, even if the Conservatives, the ruling group, have a majority.
Okay, I'm informed that in six it would be four. Conservative, one new Liberal, and one new independent. Sorry. But Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'd also like to declare an interest because I too have a house only 3 miles or so away from the proposed site, and perhaps the council solicitor could give us some guidance as to whether we all now need to declare an interest, because we all have a financial interest in this. Down to the more important matter, Councillor Cowling made some mention about the members of the council being elected and so on. Every member of this council has been elected to represent them. Every single member in here. This is an extremely important issue that I would like to think will rise above stupid party politics. So I would like to see that all the members in this chamber be represented in whatever this response is. And the simple way of doing that is by relying on the judgment of the leaders of each group. It does seem quite simple to me, and I'm sure they can come to agreement. Thank you.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Well, we're seeing one of the early impacts of fracking here, because one of the things that happens is you develop corrosive communities, one side of the community fighting the other. And this is absolutely par for the course for the oil and gas industry, that we're all falling out on this. If we want everybody to have a voice, we've got to have everybody around the table to discuss it. Or we trust our group leaders. And we don't start falling out, because that puts us at the mercy of our unwanted visitors, the oil and gas companies.
Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you, Chairman. I am disappointed that this amendment, as I understood it, was group leaders plus one other for them, the Conservative group, is not, as I understand. It's going to be six members of the council. So once again, the group leaders of the two smaller groups are going to miss out. we're giving their opinion. I think it's much better that we stick to the original proposal on our agenda, that the group leaders decide in conjunction with the head of planning the responses that we give to the government. Thank you, Chairman.
Point of order, okay. Chair. I don't believe we have any numbers with the amendment other than the six. And is that correct? We have the six done in proportion was the motion, was the amendment. Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's not for whatever. It is six done in proportion. Thank you.
Councillor Oxley.
Oh dear. I came to this meeting tonight with a perfectly sound recommendation on the table. I still think it's a perfectly sound recommendation. This does transcend politics. Every single person in this room's got an interest in getting the best out of this, whatever we think of it or not, getting the best out of it for the people of Rydale, whether it takes 20 years, 5 years or 2,000 years, or indeed whether it never happens. This is not something that needs to be turned into a political football. I, for one, am perfectly happy for the recommendation as it came to go forward. We can all feed into our group leaders. Our group leaders have a track record of coming to some sort of consensus. And at the end of the day, if you look at the questions and you look at the breadth of this early consultation, I can find very little in there that anybody who's got the interests of Rydale at heart can disagree about, really. The generalisations, hopefully, will all be on the same side. I suspect I'm less popular now than I was when I stood up, but I'm going to sit down.
Okay, does anybody else? Does Councillor Goodrick want to speak on that amendment? Councillor Ives, seconder, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Councillor Keel that we should all have an input into this. That's why I'm suggesting we do it on a proportional basis. So it's done in proportion to how the members have been elected on this council. Under the current recommendation, Councillor Keel would effectively have 10 times the say that I do, because her group of two people would have one representative, whereas the Conservative group of 19 persons would also have one representative. Only today, we had a fracking decision made by the government, and the opponents said that local democracy has been ignored. Well, do you not think that on this occasion, when we're responding to such an important issue, local democracy should shine through, and it should be done on the basis of what the people voted for? Thank you.
Councillor Goodrick, do you want to say anything more?
Chair, before we have the vote, could we have the amendment read out, please?
Okay, could you bring it forward, please?
How is it that a member of your group doesn't have to bring the motion amendment forward at the beginning? Again, as I said earlier on.
Okay, the proposed amendment, that the final recommendation be agreed on a proportional basis. Therefore, a subcommittee be created of 6 members of council, who will be agreed by the group leaders.
Sorry, Chair, I don't see where that fits in with the amendment, the motion that we've got here. The motion that we've got here says the council delegates the approval of response to the consultation to the head of planning in liaison with the group leaders. And then you've got your amendment, so you've got the group leaders and that. No deletions, did I hear the words from you? Didn't say anything about deleting.
No, that's
no, we
correct.
Didn't. And on that basis, Chair, if we're going to do it in this council, let's do it right. On that basis, I wish to move an amendment, because that one clearly fails, because it doesn't make any sense at all, and it's added on the end, and you can't have a...
Hang on, let's take one thing at a time, please.
Yes, Chair, that's gone. Mm. It's gone because it doesn't make any sense at all. Group leaders and then that bit doesn't make any sense. But if you want to pass an amendment with no sense, that chair would fit in beautifully. No problem with that.
Point of order, Chairman. We all know what the amendment is aiming to achieve. Obviously...
Yes, Chair, we do all know exactly what it's aiming to achieve.
With respect, Chairman, may I continue?
Yes.
Okay, so we all know what it's aiming to achieve. I think the current recommendation says it's delegated to the head of planning in consultation with group leaders. What it actually probably needs to say, and apologies that the amendment isn't worded like this, but we know what it was trying to achieve, is that... But you have before.
I have not.
Yes. Is that it's delegated to a subcommittee on a proportional basis. That we know what it's trying to achieve. We can change it now.
Chair, that's disgrace.
You can't have
somebody just twiddling something round, someone who claims it needs to be accurate and so on. We all know what it's meant by. Even he's got a smile on his face by that phrase.
Okay, thank you.
You can't do that. You can't.
The chairman's asked me to help on this occasion and has asked for some advice. And it is quite true that normally the chairman would receive the amendment to come to the top of the table and it would be looked at and we would see. And in actual fact, that it is quite true. There is nothing that's been added or deleted. So I'm afraid as it stands, we've spent a lot of time discussing something that I'm now recommending that the chairman doesn't accept as an amendment because it isn't amending the recommendation. So thank you. So it
well
does look as though
executive.
It does look as though Councillor Clark is happy to help us with another one, though, which we may ask to see at the top table, as long as it's seconded, and then see whether or not you can accept that one, Chairman, before we get into the debate. And members, because members, I'm sure, have had opportunities to share their thoughts on this matter, so we'll look forward to receiving an amendment that we can consider at the top table, Chairman.
Thank you. Is somebody going to second this?
Well,
moved and seconded?
No, we're getting another.
Yeah.
That's
can we move that we move to future?
Let's have the original recommendation, Chair.
I'll second
let's move
that.
On.
I'll second it. The original one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Yeah.
Chairman, if we are voting on the original recommendation, I wish to give notice they want to say something in debate.
On the original recommendation.
Chairman, there is an amendment coming. Mm. You know, it is
I move that the vote be taken, Chairman.
Chair,
hang on a second. Okay, the amendment is that the group leaders be replaced by group leaders plus one Conservative.
And that's been seconded by Councillor Thornton.
Seconded by Councillor Thornton.
Okay.
Would Councillor Clark like to say anything on that?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to remind this Councilman why I've moved that amendment, that we already have a policy on fracking. So we are, I hope, not debating fracking tonight. Whether fracking happens or it doesn't, it strikes me as a bit silly, taking Dr. Thornton's comment from earlier on, to go down the route of having tension over an issue that is contentious to start off with. We can all go on our sides as what we feel about fracking or don't feel about fracking, and I'm saying give me the facts with fracking still, always have done. But if we're looking at what the government is asking us to do in terms of what we would do with the money if, what is the point in having a big battle? And when I saw the group leaders thing on this, I thought, it's not very balanced. Then I thought the thought I'd given council earlier on, that I suspect we'd be able to work together, because in working parties and working groups, the group leaders for years here have worked pretty well. That said, the Conservatives make a very good point, and I mean it's a point that first occurred to me, that it is not balanced. So they've come up with a number of six. It is completely, well, any number is balanced, so God did it that way. But if you take six, and you've only one committee, subcommittee, then you've got to change all the subcommittees in this council to balance them all up, because they're all equal, etc. Or you're sensible about it and say, look, it is immense sense that the Conservatives have one more. I don't care on this if the Conservatives have two more, if that's what they would like. But we have enough disagreement down this side of the table, I would have thought, to have kept you happy, right? But if you want to amend it to seven, i.e. the group leaders plus two more, fine. But A, let's get on with it, and B, if you go down the proportional route, it discriminates completely against two groups, neither of which is mine, but I think that would be totally unfair to do.
Okay. Councillor Thorne, do you want to say anything?
No. Thank you, Chair. I reserve my right.
Anybody else?
Councillor Thornton.
Councillor Thornton. Yeah, I think we just should be very aware of the risks of falling out big style over these subjects, and also people within our constituencies falling out big style over this. I don't know why we should choose to change the way that things are done, and I think group leaders make sense, and if to make the to make people content, add in a Conservative or two, I can quite see that that seems like a fair way to go about things. I think we spend far too long with adversarial politics, with tables facing each other and hurling bombs at each other, with all the tactics of politics. And our job, I got on to Rydale District Council to do the best that I could for Rydale. And I think we should try to remember that from time to time.
I did give a chance. I went back to stay. John, sorry, Councillor Clark. Sum up, please.
Thank you, Chair. It's very hard to decide what the feeling of the meeting is on this amendment from the massive rows on both sides of silence. So I thank Councillor Thornton for his support and hope it is representative of the other 28 members, etc. Seriously, I'm quite happy if we change this to one more Conservative. I am totally unhappy about the two smallest groups, if that's grammatically correct, not having a voice. And on that basis, I so move. And I would like a recorded vote, please.
Okay.
Name vote, sorry, Chair.
So we go to the vote on the amendment that group leaders be replaced by group leaders plus one Conservative.
Yes, that we proceed to the amendment.
No lights on.
Press the middle one.
No, it's not working. Mine's gone off too. Mine's gone off.
Come on, Sean.
What is the results, please, Sam? The results. 13 for, 12 against, 3 abstentions.
That was carried.
Chairman, can I assume that we have the chairman's casting vote then, seeing it's 13-13?
No, the vote had been read out in the public chamber, and that was 12-13, so I'm afraid we can't then decide to change things much as we would like. We are having a discussion now because somebody's asked that to move that the vote be taken, and we've received another amendment. So I'm just advising the chairman about the next process. So the first amendment was carried, but there has subsequently been another amendment.
How can that happen when we've voted, it's published? You can't change it. I'm sorry, Janet, whether we like it or not.
Councillor Burr, I'm not saying we can. I'm just saying we've received another amendment and we're just advising the chairman about...
But we've already voted on that and it's been...
We have voted on an amendment. I'm just explaining that we've received another amendment and we're going through the process of what happens next. Thank you.
Chairman, to aid with the proceedings, we are withdrawing that amendment.
Thank you.
We'll move to the substantive version. Substantive version as amended.
Councillor Cowling, would you like to go to the substantive? Nothing to say.
I promise to be very short, Chairman. 15 seconds, that's all I want.
I think we've beat this, and we're going to the vote. Vote on the substantive motion as amended.
So that was withdrawn. I'm sorry. It's just... Well, I'm not sorry. I can't help behaviours of people, but this is...
Provoke, Councillor Sanderson.
The substantive motion is amended. Sorry, Chairman. Yes, yeah. This is Councillor Arnold and Councillor Sanderson to vote. Thank you.
Okay. 22 votes for, 1 against, 6 abstentions.
Okay, that substantive motion is carried.
Okay.
Right, let us move on. The item of urgent business, that on the senior management contracts working party be designated appointments, the appointments committee and given the authority to appoint a deputy chief executive. Who moves that? Councillor Cowling. Seconder? Councillor Arnold. Councillor Cowling.
Speak very briefly on this if I can. On Monday, our senior management contracts working party is meeting to select a deputy chief executive for our council. Normally, their recommendation would be ratified by our P&R committee. In order to speed up the process, I am going to ask you to designate the senior management contracts working party as the appointments committee, giving them the authority to appoint a deputy chief executive. Therefore, I move that the Senior Management Contracts Working Party be designated the Appointments Committee and given the authority to appoint a Deputy Chief Executive.
That's seconded by Councillor Arnold.
Okay.
Do you want to speak any more, Councillor Cowling? Councillor Andrews?
Just a question. Is this post going out for external advertisement, Chairman?
Internal appointment.
Well,
in that
case, Chairman, I will wish to speak.
Councillor Ives.
Sorry, point of order, Chairman. If I remember correctly, at the Policy and Resources Committee in June, we amended the Senior Contracts Working Party to be a subcommittee, hence why the membership changed, because it needed to be proportional, so that it could make an appointment. In fact, I can even remember moving that amendment, because I knew that we potentially would have an appointment coming up soon, so we wouldn't have to go through this rigmarole. I don't know if that's been necessarily reflected in the minutes, but I think if you check the recording, that happened, because I can remember doing it.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Clark.
It's a point of order, Chair. I think even if it were to be made from a working party into a subcommittee, the subcommittee would have no power to make a decision on behalf of that committee. While I'm on my feet, just quickly to put in, there are a mass of questions with this. A mass of questions about filling a post that's already been made redundant. The whole legal question around bumping. Whether or not somebody in the senior managers, the head of service, not in that, below that, who may apply for this post, is capable of being bumped, etc. My proposal is that that senior contracts working party should have met to discuss that lot before we start going down this process, and then to say to that group, you will decide when the last selection was heavily influenced, quite happily by all the committee, by the views of the chief executive, totally backed, we backed her completely, but it was, yes we did, everybody that was there, we backed it completely. That could not, should not be left to a handful of people to decide when it has got the controversy about it as it is, and when it will be done not in, did I say that, in, not in public. And if it then is referred to here, we have to decide whether we endorse that decision. We can decide to put it into exempt if we want, but it comes to a meeting, not a meeting in private. And on that basis, Chair, this is very, very dangerous in legal terms, in human relation terms, and in whatever is best for the council terms, because nobody has sat down yet, no councillors have sat down yet, and decided what is best for the council. Nobody has decided what should happen in human resources terms, and nobody has sat down on what has decided in legal terms. I'm open to persuasion on all of those, but I'm not open it to be a handful of people deciding something, getting it wrong, and then being responsible forever when that handful of people may have gone. It needs to be policy and resources at a minimum, possibly even endorsed by council. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? Councillor, you want to sum up? Sorry, Councillor Andrews.
I am very disappointed, Chairman, that this post is not being put out to external advertisement. And I'm very disappointed that the decision is being delegated to such a small group of members. The old system, I think, was the best. And the old system was quite simply that some officers sat together and they looked at applications that came in, and out of those applications they looked at those people who were immediately below, or the next step below, the post that was being advertised. They selected five applicants, all of whom would each of whom would probably equally meet the specify the requirements of the job, as well as any of the others, and then they put them to the then they let those people stand before members, and then members made a choice, and at the end of the day, all of the members felt that they owned that person, and to have a decision made that appoints a very senior post of this kind, which could be an internal appointment. There are so many questions that this raises that I really do think that I really am disappointed that this is the way we are proceeding.
Thank you, Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't think I was here when the full council agreed on this. I think it was taken after. You probably correct me, that it was made after 10 o'clock because it was a meeting that I left at 10 o'clock. But I have gone with what I thought had been voted at full council, and I believe that that is what full council voted on. I'm not sure because I wasn't here. So I believe that the applications have come in, and applications are on the table, And, you know, we need to carry on with this process. But I may be very wrong in that. So please tell me at what time of night this was agreed. Because I think it has been agreed at council.
I don't think it has.
I'm not sure. I wasn't here.
Chairman, the first thing to say is that this was a decision of council, and it was linked to a bumped redundant post. The post of the Deputy Chief Executive was not made redundant. That is very clear. It has been agreed by council, and at the time it was said in the meeting that in order to effect a redundancy, it would be an internal position. So what would happen is members, there are, Councillor Burr is correct, there are applications on the table. This is why this is here tonight. Should members feel that they're in a position to make an appointment, they will do so. Should they not, they will not. And what this is asking for is that meeting on Monday is given the authority to make that appointment. Thank you, Chairman.
Chair, point of order. I don't believe this council can act upon a decision that wasn't made and isn't minuted. And on that basis, Chair, maybe what was said in that time, maybe not. But we're into the Councillor Ives country of saying we all know what we mean. And I'm saying I don't know what we all mean. It was not decided. There was no decision. There was no officer recommendation. There was no minute. There's nothing in the recording, because we haven't got a recording, rightly. So there is no evidence that we decided to go down that route, which is questionable in its own right. So please, you're heading for getting this council into doing things that are illegal, against good human resources, etc., and not necessarily best for the council. So please don't drive it any further. We need to look at this and do it properly. And if the post is made 2 or 3 weeks later, a month later, and we do it right and get it right, that's fine. Doing it in this rush and with a potential for getting it wrong is very, very silly. Thank you, Chair.
Anybody else? Councillor Thornton.
It would seem that best practice would be to find out who is out there, who can fill this post to the best of our needs and their ability. And maybe we've got into a bit of a tight, odd situation with bumping and before Christmas or after Christmas, and is it an internal, external candidate? But we want the best candidate, and we want to see what's out there, because we can't measure the internal candidates just against each other. We would have to measure them against who is available and who would wish to do the job. And given that our chief executive is going to be out of her office for half of the week, we want somebody who is extremely strong to be able to carry this council in her absence. And it just seems that we are appointing our second most senior officer only from internal candidates, and that does not seem to me to be best practice.
Councillor Roper.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, actually, it is normal practice. The last Assistant Chief Executive was appointed in exactly those scenario. I fully remember the last meeting. Thank you very much. We had a proposal put forward that we accepted a resignation, a voluntary resignation. That was accepted, and we accepted that the post would be kept. We voted on a resignation that did not affect the post. I fully remember that. Whether it's recorded, I think other people in this room must remember that. Or, yes, it was probably late at night, and some people might not be paying attention, but that's their problem, not mine. I fully remember what occurred. We made a genuine decision that I'm quite confident and happy with. So I'm quite okay with the recommendation that's come forward tonight from Councillor Cowling.
Thank you.
An internal appointment. We have several candidates, and to say that we need to recruit from outside is an insult to our staff. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I raised a point of order earlier, that I think this was unnecessary because at Policy and Resources in June, it was moved that it be made a subcommittee, not a working party. I've checked the minutes myself, it's not reflected in that, but perhaps if you check the recording, because that's why the membership changed. Because previously it was a lot smaller group, you had more Conservatives put on there to make it proportional. We'll check the recording. But I do think there's a lesson to be learned here, that in the future, when you have appeals panels or you have appointment panels, that they be made subcommittees with authority to make the decision for which they are established. Otherwise, you go through this rigmarole all again. So that applies. I think we really need to learn this in future, because once again, you've got 30 members here, a lot of cost to the taxpayer, having officers here as well, heating the building, discussing something that could have been avoided quite easily.
Councillor Andrews, Joy. Joy?
I don't speak very often, so. Councillor Raper said that there was a voluntary resignation. Why did we pay out redundancy if it was a resignation?
You didn't say that.
Oh, so you remembered exactly what was said.
But you didn't get it right.
Right, okay.
Councillor Andrews, you've already spoken.
Just a very, very short point of order, Chairman. As there is so much dispute as to what was actually decided, could somebody read the minutes out so that we actually know what was minuted?
Thank you, Chairman. It was an exempt report, and the recommendation was that the Council be recommended to approve the following: the request for voluntary redundancy for a post be approved, and that delegated authority be given to the Chief Executive to terminate the employment of that post holder on the ground of redundancy in the term set out. So, anything
else? Okay, anybody else? That's Councillor Cowling.
Councillor Potter's indicated.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Raper said that it was an insult to the staff to actually have a completely, well, to actually consider an outside appointment. That's a very strange thing to say.
He just told an untruth.
But, I mean, any appointment to any business, whether it's this council or not, I think the idea is that you try to get the best possible candidates to apply for the job. And if those people from within the organisation are good enough, nay, the best, they will be appointed. But to say that it's an insult to staff to not look outside this organisation makes a complete mockery of any appointment process. Thank you.
Chief Executive.
Thank you very much indeed for letting me come in again, Chairman, because whilst I've mentioned it was an exempt report, I would just like to remind members the context is about saving money over the next few years, that it is a fact that our council has got to save £1.4 million before 2020, and the report was about saying that we need to have fewer staff as we go forward. Members were asked to consider a request for voluntary redundancy that applied to them. Other requests for voluntary redundancy have been looked at throughout the council since 2009. And members did that in the knowledge that they were saving money, and therefore it was a case that we would have fewer staff. Therefore, it isn't a surprise that we are looking internally first to see whether we have someone who can do the job. And that is what is happening on Monday. And that is what was agreed. And that is where we are. So I don't think we need to keep talking about whether the staff competencies. That is the decision, because we need fewer people into the future, because the whole point is that we've got less money available to us. That's the context, Chairman. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Point of order, Chair. We've just heard from Councillor Raper what he heard, and it bore no relation to what was happening, but that's fine. We'll forgive him by the next council meeting. We've just heard from the Chief Executive that it was agreed. But a minute ago, the Chief Executive read the minute out. How can something be agreed by this council that's not in the recommendation or in the minutes? Or in the recording, because we haven't got one. And, Chair, you are in very dangerous ground, and the council collectively is, if we go down acting on a decision that wasn't, with all due respect, made. Councillor Raper's, whether it was a resignation or what, is a minor point, and I understand that. But this one is serious. It was not agreed in any shape or form to do it. A majority did not vote for it. Look in the minutes and see. There is nothing in the minutes on it. The majority voted to make somebody redundant. It did, and to replace that, yes, but it didn't say anything about an internal candidates only. And if it's going to be, if I've got my reading of the bumping game before or after Christmas, is that it's got to be within a group. But this post has been advertised in this council outside of the heads of service. On that basis, it's breaking the rules, law, possibly the law, and certainly good practice. Again, and we are being potentially hung for it if we get it wrong. And let's look at it first, because we've made no decision. Let us look at it first, hold the process that we're going down, and if it's proved legally and we've got barrister's advice that says, yes, this is fine, bumping means that, redundancy means voluntary resignation, whatever, get it all sorted out, proceed. But when there's this number of questions to proceed with a subcommittee making the decision, which in itself is questionable, is very, very dangerous for you, Chair, for the Chief Executive mostly, the leader mostly, and for the rest of the council. Let's do it right, please.
Councillor Ives. Do you want to?
Point of order, please, Chair. I disagree with a lot of what Councillor Clark has just said, but I think one of his points does maybe have some truth, and it's that this council did not make a position redundant, it made a person redundant, so that position remains.
No, you cannot make a person redundant. You make the position, which is why it's been varied.
So
the post.
It said that we terminate give you delegated authority to terminate the contract of employment of the post, or the corporate director. So that means that do we have a position available for the post of corporate director? Because where have we established the post of deputy chief executive?
In the report. In the report of the 7th of June, it established that post.
Technically, it wasn't in the recommendation that was approved and we voted on. My point was, if we need to get this right, we could quite easily make an amendment now to right what went wrong. and tick all the T's and dot the I's. We can move an amendment now and get it right to this recommendation now.
Until 9 o'clock.
Yes, okay.
Chairman, could I just ask that we have a short break, please? I just need a bit of advice. Thank you.
Councillor, Mrs. Shields, you have something, and then we'll go for a break.
Just quickly, have the unions been made aware of this? Have they been asked about it or not? Or is there no necessity, Chairman?
Yes, they have.
Let's take a break now. Till 9 o'clock. Right, let's press on. Going to start with Councillor Ives and the amendment.
Point of order, Chair. Before we start, and it's probably tidier out of the way now, we have checked on the June meeting that Councillor Ives referred to was in fact in July. The one that Councillor Raper was misremembering, and probably is misremembering, is because he wasn't there.
Councillor Ives. Councillor Ives, please, can we get this amendment, please?
Sorry, thank you, Mr Chairman. So the amendment which I'm moving is that the post of corporate director be changed to the post of deputy chief executive, and that the post be recruited internally. And also that the senior management contracts working party be designated the appointments committee and given the authority to appoint a deputy chief executive.
Thank you. Who seconds that? Councillor Goodrick. The Bear.
It's too important to have it floating around as a piece of paper and not to be in the hands of all councillors. Theirs can be emailed to them. We'll collect our four or five copies, whatever. But, Chair, you can't make this size of decision on that. I've no problem. Probably I've no problem with the amendment, but that's not the way to do it. This is the second most important post in this council, and if it's liable to legal challenge, that's how did you decide it? Oh well, we had a verbal thing, then we had a piece of paper. What were members? Did members see it? No. I really think it's done. You're on thin ice, but if you want. My amendment to do what? Sort it out that got passed. Right? But this amendment is talking about a motion that we haven't seen, and an amendment we haven't seen. It really would help, Chair, yes. The security of everybody.
Okay, it's being printed out now.
Thank you, Chair. Very much indeed.
Councillor Burr.
I was just going to make a point that we just want to be careful that we've said about making an internal judgment, which is absolutely fine, but we promote equality and diversity, so there probably should be something on. And if where's he gone? And if a suitable candidate is not found internally, it will be externally. But that has to be in writing. No, John said it wasn't normal before. Shush.
Yeah.
So I'm just making an observation that to promote equality and diversity, but Councillor Ives has gone, if you could just add a sentence, because then we all know that if it's not internally, it's going externally. I'm only trying to be helpful.
Thank you.
Perhaps that could
any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, would you like me to speak on the amendment now, or shall we wait until it's printed?
Yes, please.
is my keeping or not, because remember we got pulled up last time that, you know, we're talking about something that isn't actually on the table.
Okay, Councillor Burr, would you update Councillor Ives on what was said while he was out of the room? Councillor Ives?
Councillor Ives, would you like me to repeat what I said?
Yes, please.
Thank you. That's better, good manners.
Is this the privilege of time?
Now then, what was that I was saying, in the spirit of trying to be helpful, we've just got to be really careful that we don't say that this post is going internally and that's it. So regarding equality and diversity, what we've got to do is say that, but then if a suitable candidate is not found, the post will be advertised externally. And all it is just covering our backs, and I was only trying to be helpful.
Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for allowing a break on this matter so that we could just clarify the position. So the amendment which I'm moving has been done in consultation with the Council Solicitor and the Chief Executive and will hopefully address the concerns that Councillor Clark has, which I know it's late at night. I know we've had quite a drawn-out meeting in parts, so hopefully it will address the legitimate concerns which you raised. When we look back to the minutes of the council meeting in which a decision was made regarding the corporate director, a decision was made to make that post holder redundant. A decision was not made. Yeah, sorry, the post. I think it referred. Yeah.
Yeah.
A decision was not made to change that previous post of corporate director to a new one of Deputy Chief Executive, despite the fact it was actually stated within the report, it was not minuted as a recommendation. So we just need to write that this evening. I think it's also important to be absolutely clear that this new position relates to a bumped redundancy. Otherwise, in employment law, if you make someone redundant but then advertise for that position immediately, it's not actually a redundancy. And then that person could claim for unfair dismissal because you've effectively terminated their contract of employment on grounds that were not a redundancy. So the council could face legal implications there. So this amendment this evening, it's just clarifying that we are changing from the post of corporate director to chief executive, and the subsequent amendments to the constitution will be made. It relates to a bumped redundancy, and that we are giving the senior management contracts working party the designated authority to appoint the post holder. I hope that this clarifies the situation.
Councillor Burr, this that's being passed around at the moment is the original amendment. It doesn't reflect your comment.
Because
he was. It was. Yeah.
You say that I wanted to amend Councillor Ives's amendment. I just was trying to be helpful, that was all. I thought Luke.
Lindsay?
Yeah.
Have a look at Yes, Councillor Burr, we haven't voted on this yet, so you can change it. Councillor Burr, do you want to bring us what you've put down? No?
The suggestion was, in addition to that amendment, to try to capture the points that have been made, that to have the amendment as has been proposed by Councillor Ives and Goodrick, and then to take on the comments that the Council has heard, if there is not a suitable internal candidate, there will be no appointment and the process will be reported back to Council. Is that okay?
Yeah, please can we add that word into the amendment, and then I'll move it, and I'm sure that Councillor Mrs Goodrick will second.
Okay, thank you. That's done. Thank you.
Okay, that's happy to go with that.
Let's
go for a vote then.
Could we have that wording again, Chair? Sorry for not standing, but you've had me bobbing up and down far too frequently this evening.
So it's just to add.
Yeah. If there's no suitable internal candidate, there will be no appointment, and the process will be referred back to Council.
So you were right at the start. If a suitable candidate isn't found within the council, the post will be externally advertised.
Sorry,
Chair, this seems an incredible way of a council making
mistakes. I can't accept that amendment, well, proposed rewording of my amendment, because of the HR implications. You cannot make someone redundant and then immediately advertise for their post. Otherwise, it's not a redundancy.
We're not, because we changed it from corporate directors.
Still, it could be argued.
Can we just keep it to one person, please? Let's keep it. Try and keep it a bit simpler.
Right. Okay.
Chief Executive, please.
So the suggestion is then adding to the. If there is no suitable internal candidate, the there will be no appointment and the process will be referred back to Council to consider external advertisement. To consider being the key word.
Okay, let's move on to the vote.
The process will be referred back to Council to consider an external external advertisement. Because of the HR implications and financial implications.
Okay, I want to move on now. We've discussed this a lot. Let's go to the vote on the amendment.
Well, I voted.
With the greatest of respect that we've had, I was halfway writing it down, but you suddenly bobbed this voting on us. You, to say we've had a lot of debate on it, that's the problem. This hasn't been discussed, despite Councillor's memory from a meeting he wasn't at. You can. Should I correct my own grammar? You shouldn't run a council like this. Let's do it right, please.
So what does Councillor Clark want to say?
Okay, Councillor Clark, please.
Are we going to have a debate?
Yes, I've said you go ahead, Councillor Clark. No, this is for you. Come on, keep it simple, please, Councillor Clark. Just can you say your words, please?
This amendment would be fine if it was bolted onto something that had happened. We have nothing in the minutes, we have nothing in the records of bumping. So we refer here to a bumped redundancy with no definition of bumping whatsoever as to what it means. My understanding of bumping, as it is done, but not that it is legal, is that it should be done at the same time as the redundancies are made. In the pile of papers I've got here is the goodbye party to the person who's been made redundant before anybody else is up in front for being made redundant. So it's not at the same time. And my understanding is that this post is also available for anybody within the council to apply. So if it is somebody applying from a post that isn't redundant, then they're not excluded from applying, and they get the post, then what? Do we end up with two lots of redundancy money because somebody else somewhere goes redundant and they haven't got this post? Two lots of redundancy money? Best value for money? I doubt it. Or, the other way round, if we don't get an internal candidate, or we get an internal candidate's borderline, what do we do? Apply again against the external one? Or we say, no, none of you can have it, and then we have only external ones. This is an unbelievably dangerous route we're going down. So we will be voting against the amendment as it stands, and I would like to speak on the main motion when it comes through.
Okay, anybody else want to speak? Okay, do you want to sum up at all, Councillor Ives?
Just very quickly, Chairman, I'd just like to reiterate that this council agreed, it was in the report, we knew what we were discussing in the report, this council agreed to a bumped redundancy. A bumped redundancy means that you make one person redundant, even if that person is not being made redundant, so that it's better to make someone redundant voluntarily than it is to make someone redundant compulsory. And so if you've got someone in a post that is not being made redundant, but that person is willing to go, then a bumped redundancy means that you allow that person to go, but then you move someone else who is at risk of redundancy into that post. That is why we need to look internally first. Otherwise, it isn't a bumped redundancy. Thank you.
Okay. We'll go to the vote now on the amendment.
Well. 19 votes for, 6 votes against, 2 abstentions.
The amendment is carried. So now we go on to the substantive motion. Councillor Cowling, do you want?
Is Councillor Clark and Councillor Andrews indicated they want to speak before Councillor Cowling wants to sum up?
Can I move that we move to the vote? Am I allowed to do that, Luke? Would somebody like to second me? The chairman had asked me to speak, if you don't mind. And I would like to move that we move to the vote.
I do mind, but moving to the vote before we've had a debate on it at all is even more ridiculous. It's getting better as this passed. No, we've been debating how we did it, what we did it, and what amendment and whatever. And no, I have not spoken on the amended motion. I can make it very brief. But I'm not going to be stifled by this dictatorship.
Okay, Councillor.
decide to vote. There's two people who have indicated.
So, Councillor Andrews, Councillor Clark. Councillor Clarks, can you speak, please?
Yes, Chair, I can make it very quick. Councillor, I can make it longer if you like. Councillor Ives says, if someone else is at risk of redundancy, somebody else is at risk of redundancy. It's an interesting concept, is that? Because we had before a chief executive, a director stroke chief executive, and below that, six heads of service. Guess what the new structure is? Chief executive, deputy chief executive, brackets the previous post, and six heads of service. And that doesn't strike me that someone else is at risk of redundancy. It might work in the cuckoo land that we're in, but if you have one level, second level, and a third level, all with the same numbers in it, who is at risk of redundancy? No one. And on that basis, why on earth are we doing it? Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Andrews.
Just to say, Chairman, I have to concede the point about the bumping, but the reason why I shall be voting against this motion is because I'm not happy over such a small group of people deciding who is going to be our chief executive.
Okay. Councillor Cowling, do you want to sum up?
Perfect example of how Councillor Clark is able to hold this council to ransom. If he wanted to scrutinise the decision making, we have a method of doing that. We have our overview and scrutiny committee. Everything was going lovely in this council chamber until Councillor Clark returned. And I think I have to say that his behaviour is a form of bullying. It's now 9:30 at night, where we should all have been gone at 8:00 tonight. We had very simple decisions to make. I think that Councillor Clark's aim in life is to stop this council going forward. He's trying to stop the transformation of the council. He's trying to grind it to a halt. And we seem incapable of stopping him doing that. But we are at a point now where we're going to vote on this, and hopefully that puts us in a position to go forward from here. Thank you.
Okay. That's, go to the vote.
Can we have a recorded vote, please, Chair? Name vote, sorry.
This is on the substantive motion.
As amended.
Yeah, but a name vote for it.
Votes for, 7 against, 1 abstention.
Thank you. That is carried. Okay, moving on to the final part. To consider for approval the recommendations in respect to the following Part B committee items, Policy and Resources Committee. The annex to the report for this item contains exempt information. If members wish to ask questions or refer to this annex during debate, then we will need to move into exempt session. Please, could any members wishing to do this indicate now? Okay. Okay, nobody's indicating. So. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Paula.
I'm not quite sure what your question was, Chairman, but I would want to speak on the motion, but I wouldn't wish to mention anything in the pink page.
Okay. That's fine. It's just that last page.
Yeah.
Jeff has introduced it. I think it's gone.
Would Councillor Cowling please introduce this recommendation?
think given the lateness of the hour, I'm not going to speak on this. I think we need to get the questions and into the debate and get on with it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Councillor Andrews.
Yes. Looking at the word principles, and the words appear there, to dispose of underutilised assets. Now, is this on page 27? Dispose of underutilised assets. Now, that usually is usually a code word, a code name for Wentworth Street car park. Can we have some reassurance, please, that we're not going to go down the path of repeating the long-going saga which has ended in such a discreditable way for this council?
Councillor Cowling?
No, thank you.
Councillor Burr.
Sorry to be a bore, everybody. It's 9:30. I don't wish to hold this meeting up any longer, but I do think it's quite serious. Well, a lot of people want to go home by 9, John. So I agree with reviewing our assets. However, what I personally aren't comfortable, and I think my colleagues agree with me, is that if you read the small detail of this, it does actually bring in our car parks. And if we agree to this recommendation as stated, it could put our car parks at risk. And as you all know, we are a tourist destination. We want to pull people in. We want to buy all modes of transport, but we do need to make sure that our car parks are available. So, for example, we've got a car park in Norton. It's ours. It doesn't generate any income. When we look at the money, could that be deemed as something that we want to dispose of? The fine detail of this report actually says that we could, if we wanted to. I hope that we wouldn't want to. Also, likewise, with Wentworth Street, it doesn't bring in much income. It does bring up some, but again, it is an asset. So looking at the figures that you look at, they can be misleading if you haven't got the background. But I just think we've got to be careful here. That's all I'm trying to flag up. I'm not trying to be disruptive or anything. So on page 27, I just wondered if I could make an amendment to the recommendation and put another bullet point in that said disposal of any owned assets used for car parking. A decision should be made in context of our car parking policy, which I think that we've got a car parking policy, but it's out of date, so we need to bring that in. It's a big issue for us, is our car parking. Norton's free, Moulton, you know, I've heard it just shouted from the other side, it's underused. So we've just got to be really careful about this. All it is just a safeguarding method. I don't think it's unreasonable to put it in, but if you look at the small detail, it does say about all our car parks. So would you like to...
Yes, can I have the amendment, please? Councillor Arnold?
Thank you, Chairman. We're talking about all car parks, are we, throughout Rydale, not just Moulton and Norton? Right, thank you. Thank you.
I would second that.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Bird, did you intend this amendment to go in on the recommendations to the council's second sentence? You can have a look at it here if you wish.
It's from PNR, so add the bullet points in there, isn't it?
Okay. Okay, so the amendment to the recommendations on page 21, second point, Policy and Resources Committee recommends that Council consider a change to the final bullet point of principles. Page 2 of the report to say, and in that sentence, to have disposal of any owned asset used for car parking decision should be made in context of a car parking policy. Do you wish to talk on it?
Or not. If you read the small print of this policy, which is really good, it's very good what's come to us, but our car parks are actually in there. And I was just thinking about, we're saying that, we need to look at best value, we need to see about our income that is brought from our assets, and they're all linked in together. So immediately I thought about Norton, because that could probably be targeted, because there's no income at all coming off it. And I just wanted it to be brought back and just a little bit of thought gone through before we actually just make that blanket decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak on that point? Councillor Clark?
On the whole amendment,
Chair. The amendment? No. Councillor Duncan?
It was just a quick question which Chief Executive might be able to help me out with. If this council was to decide to dispose of a particular asset, would that decision be one that would have to be made by full council, on a case-by-case basis?
Not if it's in line with policy.
So on that basis, the policy tonight gives essentially approval to dispose of any council asset without the approval of full council.
It could, if it's in line with policy, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, could I just say, though, as well, Chairman, it could, but also there is something else that does help the policy framework, which is about judgment. And sometimes things come to council if we know it's particularly sensitive. I think the elephant in the room is, does this give carte blanche to revisit Wentworth Street again? And the answer is, it's been made bullet points in there to make sure that doesn't happen. And there is the judgment then, which is what will councillors have an interest in. For example, the judgment tonight was about the shale gas consultation. It was a judgment we thought that you would find that interesting. Did it need to go? No, it didn't really. But is it interesting? Of course it is for Rydal. So we use our judgment as well.
So to clarify, the judgment will be made by officers, is that correct?
Members set the policy, officers implement that policy. If it's a policy decision that we can implement, we will. But we do exercise judgment if we think that it is sensitive.
But hang on.
Sorry, I think I'm still in my 3-minute period, so I'd just like to say that on that basis, I'm not happy, even though I've gone through this process through the Overview and Scrutiny Committee. I did not understand that would allow effectively the disposal of any asset which this council owns without the approval of full council or the approval of members in any capacity through any committee whatsoever for that matter. And I will therefore be voting against.
We're talking about the amendment at the moment.
Well, I've said what I've had to say now. Thank you very much.
Councillor Jarrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One or two people laughed when Councillor Duncan said that he didn't understand the implications of all of the things that were in the report, but I'd have to say that I sat through this process as well, and I would say that I am the same. We're talking about Lindsay's amendment, and I think that Luke could easily well be prescribing the same thing, because... Sorry, my apologies. I share Councillor Burr's concern that it states in the principles Somewhere in this report, and I can't find it because she's right, it is buried. I think it's at the bottom of page 32, that you can use these principles to sell anything. And that can't be right. With things strategic assets, such as the car park, if we hope to make Malton any more of a tourist attraction, you've got to be able to park somewhere. And I know that Councillor Andrews here keeps talking about the fact that Wentworth Street car park's underutilised, and the fact that it's due to the amount of money which is being charged. But there are lots of things going on here that could make assets appear much more underutilised than they are. There's a lot of things going on in this report which could be extended into things that I think quite a few members of the committee had no idea that they were going to be talking about. My view is that the committee, on the whole, believed that we were talking about the assets which are mentioned in this report. And I would welcome Councillor Burr's amendment just to state that the items which could be considered strategic come back to council. So I'll be supporting this amendment.
Councillor Burr, you had your hand up first, but do you want to sum up, because Councillor Clark wants to speak as well? Okay, Councillor Clark. Yes, yeah, sorry.
Chair, I'm hearing this very neatly in stereo. Councillor Duncan is clearly pointing out that this means we can sell anything we like, provided it's within policy, without it coming to members. And the amendment, if I understand it correctly, is that we're not going to do that for car parks. Now, that sounds admirable, but you might get up one day and find this building's been sold, but we haven't been able to sell Wentworth Street car park, much as I supported the Wentworth Street car park all the way through, 8 years of it. But I really think that Rydale Council, to sell this building without councillors' decisions, etc., and end up not able to do anything in Wentworth Street car park, is really another case of what we've just had with the previous lot. And, Chair, we asked at the policy meeting, and we were told we would get on the orange page, and I'm not going to mention any numbers of any areas of any subject at all, we were told we would get capital values. Capital of values of then and now and in the future. Now, I realise that the party opposite are capitalist. But Chair, this is not capitalism. This is a case for everybody living in rented accommodation and balancing, and the owners of that property, balancing the cost of decorating and painting the property versus the rent. Because that's all we're looking at. We're not looking at capital assets in this at all. We're looking at how much it's going to cost us in repairs and running it, and how much income we'll get. Yet, most of us believe, I suspect in this room, in ownership of a house. And if anybody wants to sell the house for the price they bought it for, good luck to you, in capitalist terms. I'd like it taxed, the difference between, but that's a different matter. You're actually saying here the increase in your house value is nothing. You decide whether you stay there compared with the mortgage you're paying and or the rent you can get and or the cost of repairs. No consideration in your whether to buy a house or not in what its value is now and whether it's likely to go up or go down. How can you make an assets decision on that basis? I'm sure that the economists among you and the... I'm not sure it goes down as low as accountants. But on that basis, Chair, we're not getting a capital asset decision. It doesn't make any sense at all. Again. So I should be voting against this, sorry.
The amendment.
Just against the amendment on the basis that we could end up with just the car parks and nothing else.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews.
Chairman, I support everything that Councillor Burr has said. and also what Councillor Jarrett has said, so I'm not going to repeat it, but I would just like to point out that as I understand it, the Council is at present in the process of revising its car parking policy, and so therefore I would expect that if this amendment is passed, the context in which any decision to dispose of a car park is taken would be in regard to the to the policy which is being revised.
Councillor Burr.
Yes, thank you. This has caused some debate, hasn't it? I thought it was quite simple, actually. When I read the report, I understood it that we were having a review of all our assets. All our assets, which the biggest would be this particular building, and the smallest could be a tiny, tiny little piece of land or a tiny property or whatever. That's how I read it. And I understand that some councillors have stood up and said, oh, whoa, so does that mean no way that this building would ever be sold without full council knowing about it? There's just no way that would happen. Maybe I've misread it, John, but I don't think that would happen. And if it does happen, then that's my problem. But what I'm thinking about is the small assets that, you know, you just look at, you just have to look at them, and common sense, your business head, etc., tells you that they would be better disposed of, and, you know, we could reap the benefits. So on that point, I would actually welcome that we would be able to get, you know, dispose of some of our assets, because there are some assets which I can think of now, and I won't mention them because I don't want to go to break the confidentiality. But there are some small assets that we do hold that really we could do with disposing. So I'm not saying for one moment that, next week we're going to sell Rydell House, but no one's going to know. And then we're going to sell, you know, and then no one's going to know. But that's what some of you councillors seem to think is going to happen. If someone could tell me that I'm wrong, then I've got it wrong. But I did not see that it was a case that next week we would walk into this room and this building would be sold. So all I'm asking you to do is support this motion.
Okay, thank you. We'll go to the vote on the amendment then.
Votes for, 6 votes against, 4 abstentions.
Okay, the amendment is carried. So now we'll go on to the substantive motion. Anybody want to speak on the...
Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wish to raise a point of order on this, because it's been stated that by agreeing to this policy this evening, it means that this council is effectively agreeing to sell any asset that is decided by officers to be in line with this policy. Now, that is a statement which I disagree with, especially if you look at the Constitution. We have a lot of policies with this council. If you look at the council plan, we've got our 5 objectives, one of which is to create the conditions for economic success. Does this mean that this council has agreed in principle to fund anything which creates conditions for economic success? In theory, following that argument, we could have agreed to fund Bramley Fields just by agreeing that policy, but we didn't. And I know what the Chief Executive was saying when she said that she will still obviously bring the big items to council for a decision, but I'm quite sure that under the Constitution that would be necessary anyway. We do have financial regulations. I know that there is a £50,000 spend limit, but when it comes to disposal, I was saying that there's no limit whatsoever. And if that's the case, I think that seriously needs to be looked at, because it seems quite perverse that we have a restriction on spending £50,000 worth of money, yet at the same time you could sell an asset worth £10 million. Well, I'm flabbergasted. I do agree with his policy. I agree with his policy absolutely. But if the implication is that we are agreeing to... I might be agreeing to sell something which I haven't agreed to sell. And certainly, you know... I agree in principle with that policy, but it is subjective. There may be one asset where I think we are getting good value, and it may be the opinion of someone else that we aren't, or vice versa. And when you have these big items, it must come before full council for decision. That's democracy. And I don't wish to be splitting hairs over this, but it's a really important point.
Sure.
I do know this council, having been here for 10 years. I have no intention of taking anything at all. I was asked a question, does that mean you could? Yes, you could. Would you? Is a separate matter altogether. So I do, please, would like to reassure members. I answered the fact of the matter is, could I? There aren't the same conditions of disposal. There aren't. The financial rules do not apply when it comes to income generation. They only apply to expenditure. So what we could do, we could have a look at the Constitution when we wish to. But as it is, members, please, after 10 years of working with you, I do know what is sensitive and what isn't.
Councillor Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. Just to follow the same point, as I understand, the list of operational assets on the pink paper are the only items which are ever going to be put on the list. Anything which is not on the list, anything which is not on the list can be disposed of according to these to the principles set out in this policy. Policy set out on page 27, as has now been amended. The chief executive has indicated that she's not going to exercise the powers that are given under this policy. But actually, I can't actually see anything in this policy which gives officers delegated authority to dispose of council property. In accordance with these principles, it doesn't actually say that, and I feel that we might have been misled in this. But as the chief executive has given the reassurance that this will not happen, what I would ask is that if this motion is passed, if this recommendation is approved, then the chief executive's comments and undertaking that she would not. Dispose of major assets without coming back to this council should be clearly written into the minutes, so that we all know that is the position, and we're not going to be taken by surprise later on. I say this because we have Janice as the chief executive now, and we can trust her. In a couple of years' time, she may have moved on, and somebody else may have become chief executive, and may be looking at these minutes, and may think that they've got the power to do things which, in fact, it was never intended they should have. And so, therefore, I would ask that an appropriate wording should be written in to the preamble, if you like, to any decision that is made on this matter. Would the chief executive agree to this?
I'm happy to put something in as a preamble, and then people could read that. I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak? This is... No, we voted on the amendment, Councillor. Okay, Councillor Clark.
On the amendment, Chair, I asked the question as to whether car parks were the only assets we were going to take into consideration, and therefore we could sell anything else, but not the car parks. And I have no answer to that at all. So presumably, on that basis, that's correct. On that basis, Chair, I wish to move a further amendment, and that is that this item is referred back to the committee's policy and overview and scrutiny for further consideration. I think that consideration may mean tidying up of the words so that the concerns that Councillor Duncan and other councillors and myself and my group have got, so as to make sure that we've got it right. Because if it is... a policy of this size and this importance, then it really must be get the full confidence of the full council, or even the full knowledge of what it is of the full council, even if there are still some of us at that point that are in agreement with it. And at the moment, people who were on the committee who drew this up are saying, I didn't understand it. Well, if that's the case, the rest of us on just a debate here and one reading, or two readings for those of us on policy, is not enough to be sure that we've got it right. It is major. We do need to look at our assets. I'm totally in favour of that. We do need to value them properly, which we haven't done. But we do need to know what we are doing. And at the moment, from this debate, it's very clear that we don't. So on that basis, I move the reference back. And Councillor Andrews is prepared to second.
Okay, the amendment reads as follows, that this item is referred back to the committees for further consideration. Can we go straight to the vote on the question, Councillor Ives?
Can I just ask, is this policy actually changing the status quo? We've learnt this evening, and it's certainly to my surprise, that there are no limits in terms of delegation for the disposal of assets. But that was obviously in place before this policy. Is anything changing in respect of that as a result of approving this policy? In which case, you know, we can look at that separate. Let's just deal with the policy separately, and then we can look at the delegation levels as a separate item. Because if nothing's changing as a result of approving this, I think we need to look at the issues that have been raised tonight separately.
Well, I've just read out the amendment, and we'll go to vote that this item is referred back to the committees for further consideration.
Chairman, may I just have asked the Chief Executive for an answer to that question. Is anything changing as a result of this policy? Does this suddenly give you authorisation to sell whatever you believe to be cost-effective disposal, or is that effectively already in place already?
It's in place already.
It's in place already, so nothing's changing as a result of this policy.
Right, go to the vote, please.
And if nothing's changing as a result of this policy, then why are we implementing a policy? That would be my next question.
Let's go to the vote on this, please.
I would feel more comfortable if this could go back to policy and resources and to overview and scrutiny. I mean, there's no... I'm not casting any aspersions at overview and scrutiny, but when I read this tonight, rather than at policy and resources, I wasn't comfortable. Well, no, I did read it before, Linda. But the disposing of any asset which achieves neither of the above and which could generate a receipt for the council, to dispose of underutilised assets, apart from car parks, and the proceeds of the sale of any of the assets be used to support the delivery of the capital programme. I just think it needs to go back to policy, and we need to be absolutely clear.
Okay. Can we now go to the vote?
Members of...
6 votes for, 14 votes against, 3 abstentions.
So now we go back to the substantive motion with the Councillor Burr's amendment agreed.
Is the Chairman happy to just go straight to the vote on this one?
The Leader.
Well, Chairman of Policy and Resources. Sorry. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what you've been, the policies and principles that you've been asked to approve tonight, and quite happy with the amendment that Lindsay's put. What I do think is that you're seeing again somebody trying to stop this council moving forward. It's procrastination. Nothing has changed by approving this tonight. You're changing nothing. It's just the same as it ever was. If you have concerns about this, then that's something you can look at in the future. Nothing to stop you doing that. And I'm sorry, really sorry, that two members in this room have been attending overview and scrutiny and didn't understand what they were voting for.
Councillor Clark?
Well, I thought that was... That was the
Councillor Cowling summing up. So we go to the vote, please.
Could I have a recorded vote on this, please, Chair? Even if it's just me standing up, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Voting on substantive, yeah.
Seventeen votes for, 6 votes against, no abstentions.
So that is the motion is carried, and that concludes business for this evening, and I declare the meeting closed.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you.